Hello everyone, this is Nofel coming straight from our cellar, and today we have a returning guest, Zach. What's up, man?
Hi, man. It's a pleasure to be back. Thanks for having me.
Oh, man, like everything is different from the last time you were here.
It's so impressive. You're a Hollywood stalwart now.
So we did have different microphones. Mm-hmm. Now we do have a better microphone.
Some shures.
So you were sitting down here. We were watching our very first episode that we never released because it was just terrible.
For the vault.
We were watching Champions League. A game between PSG and another team that I don't remember.
Barcelona.
All right, I'll take your word for it. We were laying down on the couch and we had like two corners. Yeah, the mics were not really operating the way we wanted them to operate, and
I was like laying down like I was in a coffin. It was fun, though.
But it was great. But now you came back for episode 7, which was in a little room upstairs, not in the cellar, but now it is officially in the cellar.
We're back.
Yeah, welcome back, dude.
Thanks, man. I'm so happy to be here.
What's going on? What's up?
Nothing crazy. It's been good. I've had a back to my roots kind of moment. I just moved back in with my mother after like 13 years plus of being away. And, you know, I'm not the person I was 13 years ago. So now me and my mom just having a beautiful relationship.
Mm-hmm.
It's been good. My girlfriend moved in with me.
I always think that it's always better when, like, after years, when your relationship with your parents, the way it was like 13 years ago, they were more into like protecting you. Now they know that you can fly on your own wings, and they're here now as support and as friends. So your relationship really evolves to something that now more of a friendship, and I listen to you. And our parents are like that. Like years after, they go from being like parenting to the point when they are there for you.
My bad about that. The word I would like to use is reconnection.
Yeah,
I've found a very fond reconnection with my family after I have felt personally not ostracized or kicked out, but you know, there are growing pains, especially in my family, and I'm a growing pains kind of guy, stubborn kind of guy.
Yeah. And how did it help you? How is it helping you now with, because you got back to the roots, you got back to being with your with family, you got back, but you got back also to music.
Yeah, I'm slowly getting back into it. I had a really hard time with it when I was living in the Baltimore, just outside of the city. And it's hard to stay motivated. It's one thing to be inspired, but if I was ever going to make a career, and I did make a career out of my music, let me stand on my toes and be proud of the things I have done. But I found myself in a point where I was just like always inspired, but I was never having fun.
Yeah.
And I felt, this is all personal stuff, but I boxed myself in, and I've showed you my music. I showed you a couple.
Yeah. Beats. Yeah. And by the way, the intro, thank you for it, man.
It's just one of the many thousands of samples I have. Thank you to Buttery Guitar Number 2. But yeah, man, hopefully I can get some more. Anything that can get me in my studio, like I have in front of me right now, I'm into it.
Good.
Even if it's not me making music for my gigs or anything, which I'm not taking gigs anymore, but just to have this outlet, I've missed it. And like opening it up here the past couple of days, and then coming here and opening it up, it feels good to have the routine of opening up my laptop more.
And then working on something. That's motivation there.
Just anything. Yeah. Just anything. It doesn't even matter what it is. Like now I'm making music for myself as compared to an audience, you know? And like between this, I've been like, everyone says this, but I've been writing comedy for a year and a half. And if you want, we can share some bits later. I have tons on my phone.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And they're not necessarily the most PG.
It's fine, man.
I have some really fucked up shit.
Well, this is the platform for it. Okay. This is a great platform for actually any sort of expression, whether it's comedy, whether it's something that we talk about ourselves and our way of life or our lifestyle, or in any way possible, whether it's explicit or the cleanest way possible. Like, yeah.
You know what I really want to do?
Yeah.
Because I still have an agent. He still really believes in me, and I feel bad because he's just, all his other artists are like superstars. They're they're superstars, dude. They're doing incredible things, like especially in the niche music scene that I was very grateful to be a part of and help bring to life.
Yeah.
I'm gonna flex that.
Yeah.
But I mean he talks to me, we talk all the time. He's just like, dude, whenever you're ready, he's like, I love you, dude. He's like, you've done things for me that no one else has done. He's like, I'll do things for you that no one else has done.
And I always believe that it only takes one person to believe in you.
It really does.
One person to believe in you, to be in that right place, right spot with the right person.
Mm-hmm.
You definitely can accomplish more than you ever thought you could. Just because someone opened the door for you.
Oh my God, absolutely. I getting back to that, like opening the door, like everyone thinks they're funny. And like, I'm tired of being the funniest friend in my friend group. Mm-hmm. I mean that in the best way possible.
Yeah, yeah.
If they're listening, you know what I mean?
It's fine.
You know what I mean? But I really want to be like a, if I could, I'd love to intersect comedy and music. So imagine you go to a club. You got DJs all night.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes you just want to smoke a cigarette. You want to take a break. You want to get outside, get some air, some water, anything like that. I would love to break into a different kind of comedy where I can just, you know, in between set breaks, imagine a band setting up and you got me up there for 15 minutes tending to a crowd or as a host for like these gigs or these venues. That's something I'd like to break in. And my agent's cool with it. So we're
he's trying to find you some
he's gigs. Not trying to find me. He is the creator of those opportunities.
Oh, cool.
I just haven't necessarily, like, we've talked about it. We think it's a great idea. I personally haven't been doing the work since I've been moving, and like I had a little bit of that mental breakdown where I stopped music. Just like, it's, I don't know, it's hard, man. I growing up is really hard. I feel that, like, I, you know, there's sand falling through my hands, and
okay.
I'm trying really hard to not feel like that because I'm just 29. You know, there really is a lot of life, I hope, left for me.
Oh yeah, of course.
And the world doesn't end when you turn 30.
Of course, you still have a lot going on. Yeah. You'll be happy. You'll be disappointed. You'll have moments of doubts again. You'll have, those are the life experiences that really build your personality and how, like, it's just how you come out of it when you go through, when you lose people, when you get disappointed. So you know how to react. Now you'll be sad this time, but the next time you'll be less sad, and et cetera, et cetera. And you're always having the back of your mind that it's okay to be disappointed, but how you can recuperate and recover from it.
For sure. People can disappoint me all the time. That doesn't bother me. But the hardest part is when I disappoint myself.
Yeah. Well, that's like the hardest being self-critical.
Part for me.
Yeah. That part, you don't want to beat yourself up, though.
You're so good at it.
Like, yeah. Yeah. Well,
I know we all are.
But how you deal with it. And that's part of maturity and gaining maturity and how you can grow up and be a better person. Because when you criticize yourself, you're looking at it from the other people's perspective. You're like, I disappointed them. I shouldn't have done that.
Yeah.
But
it's all internal.
Yeah. Imagine if you're like, I actually, okay, they might be disappointed, but how can I reverse that and maybe get closer to them now?
Yeah, absolutely.
How can I be a better person next time for the next person?
How do I react better? Because that's all I can do. It's just how I react to things.
That's true. And guess what? You're going to fuck up.
Yeah,
you're gonna do a lot of things, and then you grow from it. You get better. You're a better person. You come out of it in a better way. Now, if you really self criticize yourself, because we're humans. We think a lot.
We're very comparative.
Yeah, yeah. We think a lot, and when we overthink things in general, it's either we bury ourselves and we don't come out of it. And then we start thinking like we're in a weird spot, like I can't really do anything about it. And then that will carry on to other relationships that you have. Or you get better at it. You really take that criticism and you're like, I'm a better person now. I know how to handle that.
For sure.
For the next time.
Yeah, absolutely, dude. You got to bounce back. And
right.
My issue was I never bounced back, dude. I let things pile up, you know, like remember, like I said, you know, my falling out with music wasn't because I ran out of ideas, wasn't because I couldn't hang. It's because I was killing myself, dude. I was in my studio all day. And like, to be fair, at the time, like this isn't going to sound the best, but I had my one of my absolute dearest friends, Ryan Blank. It's very successful.
Shout out Ryan Blank.
He has two very awesome music projects. Okay. He has one called Vide, and then he has another one with another very close friend of mine, Drake Cambra. They have a very niche, sought after experience now, which is like a new level of club music. Mm-hmm. And they go by Nick Baker.
Okay.
So it's awesome to have some of my biggest inspirations. Mm-hmm. As my friends, you know, I have another friend, Alex Young, who literally texted me like 2 days ago, like, when are we getting back in the studio?
He's nice. Like,
you know, and like, it only takes one person to believe in you, like you said. And like,
yeah.
I have all these people in my corner, and I just like, I still can't do it. So I couldn't do it at the time.
Yeah.
And now where I'm at a place where like, I'm kind of picking up the fallout of me like falling out of love with music. I'm like, you know, like I said, I moved back with my mom.
Mm-hmm.
I'm eating healthier. I just got back on medication to help with ADD.
Okay.
To help me stay calm, to stay focused and stuff like that.
Okay.
And, all that stuff, you know, I'm really in a big bounce back period.
You did say that motivation is one of the struggle, like losing the motivation to do music and to make music was one of the struggles. Were there any other struggles that made you stop music?
Absolutely. I think music industry is not physically, but it's a violent industry.
Okay.
You know, I work 40 hours a week, you know, 37. I take long lunches, you know what I mean? And there are kids, man, who are really good, and they are dedicated, and they are honed in on their craft, and they're fucking 16, you know, and like, it's hard. That's the comparison issue. It's hard for me to keep up when I feel like my agent's other clients are fucking crushing it. Like, they are doing insane things, beautiful, wildly successful, like, at least I would consider that wildly successful. And, you know, the meaning of success is subjective. But mm-hmm. I think if you can do what you love every day, then you're pretty fucking successful to me.
I do have to say that I want you to meet one of the people that I think they're very talented. I did an episode about him because...
Yeah. Is it Sam?
No, his name is Billy. He goes by Billionaire. He is amazing. Amazing in a way that when I heard him telling someone, I do rap, and he was very humble about it. And I'm like, okay, great, he raps, but I know the guy, he's very cool. And since I know someone, that's me, like, being very bad to myself, thinking like that I don't know the best people.
Yeah.
Since I know him, like, he will be okay
for sure.
Yeah,
I understand that.
The guy is amazing. I have some music and I'll play it later.
I love to hear, and
when I was talking to him, he was like, it's the only thing that I have now that I'm struggling with is instrumentals. And you are really good. You're the right person for that. So I'll let you listen to him, go work on something. And I'm sure you're going to come up with something.
I'll do anything at this point when it comes to music. Like, I just, anything to get me back in my studio, to get me to open the laptop, I'll do anything.
Yeah. Yeah. What is the most important thing to you?
Right now,
yeah,
having fun. Like, if we're talking about just this conversation, anything creative, anything music related, I'm never not gonna have fun again. And I've made that promise to myself. Like, that, okay, the song I showed you previous, I had more fun writing that little like campfire hobbity kind of intro than I have had making songs the last 3 years. You know,
'cause you're creating something.
I'm always
from the ground up.
I'm always creating something from the ground up, and I got my laptop open. I can show you all kinds of stuff, man.
Yeah,
but like, there's no point in doing any of this stuff. There's no motivation without fun, and I think fun and motivation go hand in hand, especially when it comes to these kind of outlets. You know, I if I'm in the studio, just like, I'm inspired. I'm crushing out beats. I'm crushing out 64 bars. I'm mixing it day of, mastering it day of, getting it ready. Like, the biggest thing is to be fun, to be motivated, and to know when to let go. I would spend months on a song. I would spend 6 months of my life on 2 minutes and 40 seconds. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's not fun. When you break down the seconds per month, like, imagine getting ahead 13 seconds in a month. Like, that's a grueling process that I put myself through. And, like, if I wasn't having fun.
That's why it takes a little... Yeah, the motivation was not there.
I was inspired, but I wasn't motivated. And that's the hardest part. It's like, you know, when you're like young love, you have to learn the difference between what you think is like tangible love versus mm-hmm. what is adoration and appreciation, you know?
Yeah.
You can
yeah.
adore and appreciate things without loving them or caring about them, you know? Yeah. And I'm sure that like connotation wise, those words have that meaning built into it, but they're, you know, everything's not black and white anymore, brother. Like, it's gray.
That's true. That is true. And just be yourself whenever you're preparing something.
And anything you do, just be originally yourself, you know? Yeah. I really think about, you know, getting back in the studio again, there's always that box. People kind of put themselves in boxes and niches. Like, I want to be the deepest, darkest producer, or I want to be the most visceral, hi-fi club musician. Nah. Not really, you know. Now to me, it's all about being unapologetically yourself, to be expressive through every outlet, through every route, and through everything. So like, you know, and do stuff that you would never do, you know. Like, there's no rules when it comes to making music, but there are guides usually. But I honestly, I'm in a point in my life when it comes to music that I fuck that.
Yeah.
Like, dude, if I want to put a distortion on the whole master, if I want to clip things, if I want things to be loud as fuck, if I want things to be soft and clean, like, I'm just gonna do it, and I don't need to follow that. I can have one bar be soft and clean, and the next bar just be absolutely distorted, unhearable. Like, you know, like if it was handwriting, it'd be completely illegible, and then the next sentence is like dainty, you know, your eyes have little hearts on the top, and then the next sentence it's like hieroglyphs. You're like, what the fuck is going on? I think it's following the, you know, there's patterns, you know, when it comes to writing music. Like, you know, you got your A
yeah.
section, your B section, C yeah. section, back into A, back into B, C section, finishes it again. Now I'm trying to have like an A through K, A section, K section, B section, C section, E section, anything that is just off the beaten path. And, you know, creativity isn't linear. Motivation isn't linear.
Oh, staying motivated is the hard part.
It's the hard part. But like, when you can reach the, I personally think that motivation and creativity, they can meet in the middle where fun is. And it's like a trifecta. Mm. Like, you know, this is the perfect flow state, you know? And I take a lot of inspiration from, you know, Rick Rubin, my agent. Let me borrow his book, you know, because he cares about me that much. And that's it's a nice looking book too. I hope he gets it back.
Yeah. And I do have, there's another book that I read, that's called Drive. I have it upstairs. I can actually hand it to you. It's a pretty good book, and it talks about how to stay motivated, and it explains actually that staying motivated, it's not something that's very common, like very hard for people to always keep up the same motivation for a long time.
It's hard.
It's impossible.
But it's not linear though. That's the thing.
Motivation is just impossible.
It's like a stock market.
Yeah.
You're gonna crash and you're gonna make money, dude. You know what I mean?
Like, yeah. Yeah. Well, but it's not just about money too.
For sure.
You can be making money.
It's just I meant in regards of like the actually seeing it go up and down, the graph.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know?
Yeah. It's like this for me. Like a podcast, okay, it brought and made me some money now. But am I trying to make it my everyday job? No, because I'll lose interest.
For sure.
I will get stressed out. I need content. Now I can do it whenever I want.
Yeah. That's great. And, it's an outlet, dude. It's
exactly.
Creative.
Exactly. Now, do I want to ramp it up to a place where I want to end this year with 40 total episodes? I'm still behind, but it's just a goal. I don't have to reach it because it's not a work for me.
Just keep doing it.
Like, sitting down with you does not feel like a job for me. It feels like a really good moment that I'm sitting down having a ginger, a triple ginger brew.
I kind of want one.
And
now,
you have water.
I kind of want one now, okay. Maybe later. But like, I just keep looking at it. I'm a sugar fiend, dude.
Yeah.
Well, I can't. Yeah. And dude, I think sugar fucks up my motivation, dude. I think I have a dopamine and serotonin problem, like probably many human beings, you know? Yeah. To be fair, I didn't do myself any favors. I think one of my biggest faults with music was also drugs.
Now that we're speaking on dopamine and serotonin, I do have, I do think, and I know that because we're chasing those constantly.
For sure.
Because we found that name for it.
Yeah.
Imagine if we didn't know it.
That is a crazy thing to say.
So because we now know of it, because now we have a name for it, we always think to do something in order for us to create that XYZ hormone. And because we have in the back of our mind, whenever we don't get it, whenever it's not generated and it's released in our, so we don't feel that happy, we feel demotivated.
Yeah, no, that's such a crazy,
imagine awesome the people, because I come from a country where we really don't know of all of that. Like, depression is not something that you hear in a common conversation between two people, or like ADHD, or like dopamine or serotonin, or anything that you name it. Like, when it comes to
problem.
Yes, because now, like, those people, like, there are some people where I come from, they're afraid about their meal tomorrow,
yeah,
or tonight.
Way bigger things.
Like, they have other priorities. Now we've reached so much abundance in our daily life.
You like get we to had, pick, you get to pick your problems.
Exactly.
Now.
So I just don't like the tone how you talk to me, and I don't like the way you say this. And sometimes we just get caught up in those little details
that don't matter.
And that I really think, don't I matter. We're so small in this universe.
But there's small. I think details are the most important part of life. I think the small
absolutely,
things, like
yeah.
for example, if I make eye contact with you when I talk to you, making time, opening a door for someone, being there. It's a small. It's those split second. The split second things you can do to show someone you care, and you know,
yeah.
the beauty is in the details, but the death is also in the details. You know, think about 13 seconds a month on a song, like just like spending hours just to get ahead 13 seconds. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah.
So, and then I also think about, like, to bring back what you said, that, you know, we put a name to it. Are we not enjoying the journey? Are we all concerned about the destination?
Is everything bad?
Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You fucking dig.
Not everything is bad.
Literally, it's not.
Everything is good. It's what you learn from it.
Yeah.
And how you move on. Now, if you disagree with someone, you ask questions.
For sure.
What makes you say that? And okay. And that's when, like, ego problems, and misunderstanding problem, miscommunication problem. When I say something to someone, I'll never say it in a way to hurt them, because I don't want to be hurt. I believe in that. Like, I always respect the person. So if I say something to you, if you don't see it that half full of the cup, but you see it with the half empty of the cup, like you said that to hurt me, and you just take it literally by, this guy was trying to hurt me, of course you're going to react to it.
Yeah.
But if you ask me that, but that seems not me problem, that seems like your problem.
For sure.
You misunderstood. I did not understand. I did not say it that way. Now, if you did not understand it, the best thing to do is what? Ask me questions. What makes you say that?
So check this out, though. I agree with your sentiment, because I think me and you share similar values. But one of the hardest things I've had to learn was that, like, perception is reality, you know? And, like, it's really not someone's job to understand what I'm saying. It's
absolutely.
It's my job to say
to explain it.
Not even to explain it, but to present my point fairly, and to a point where they can feel comfortable enough to give me a response that they truly feel, not something that is an aggravated defensive response. Like,
right.
Like, I'd be like, hey, man, you were late today. And it's like, well, yeah, I was late. Like, yeah, but, you know, my kid didn't eat his breakfast, and there was traffic on the road. There's, you know, it's all about how you bring it. Be like, hey, is everything okay? I noticed you've been late recently.
Right.
But there's small things. But it's also, I can't cater to everybody, so it's the balance.
Yeah.
I'm not always going to have the right words.
Of course, and we're not perfect.
We're not.
We ain't Jesus.
Jesus.
We ain't Jesus.
Baby blue-eyed, white-skinned Jesus.
So the important thing to you in the world is what now?
Reconnection, getting back into my outlet and my family, and saving money for a house.
You're doing it.
I am doing it.
Yeah.
I'm trying my best. Moving back with my mom, I'm saving $1,000 a month.
Oh, that's amazing.
Yeah, mother's holding it down, dude. You know, a lot of my friends still live with their parents, and I spent the last 13 years not. I got kicked out really, really early.
And I encourage anybody who's listening, If you have the ability to live with your parents,
please
do it.
Do it.
Do it. I wish I have nobody here. I don't have my parents here.
I know, man.
And I only have one single family, and she is amazing, and I'm so glad to have her in my life. Shout out to Christina.
Shout out, Christina. Mm-hmm. Thanks for the sausage this morning.
So, if I had the chance to live right now with my parents,
you would.
Absolutely. Why or not? My wife's parents. Absolutely. I wouldn't even think about it. Why? Because there is a safe place. There is a place that I know. There is a place where I see those, like I grew up with those people. Those people raised me.
Yeah.
And they love you unconditionally.
For sure.
And they look after you.
Yeah.
You just have problems with them.
The family's great. Yeah. You're supposed to have problems with them, dude.
Yeah, I know. But it's a free of charge place. You do contribute a little bit here and there, but you don't pay as much as you pay now in rent or mortgage.
For sure. But it's I hate that everything is seen transactionally. Mm-hmm. But like living with my mom, you know, I work in a grocery store. Mm-hmm. There's no reason my mother should ever leave the house for groceries, and so I make sure she doesn't.
Oh yeah, of course. You know, bring it with you.
I bring it with me. You know, my mom's getting old, man. She's not, you know, she's doing good, but she's still getting old. She just celebrated her birthday on Tuesday.
Oh, nice.
Thank you.
Oh yeah, yeah. I
that's
did
right.
See
I saw
it.
Yeah, yeah, there you go. Okay. I was buying food for her dinner.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. We talked about that.
Yeah, man.
My bad. I'm just forgetful.
You know, we forget that it's very early in the morning, or early enough at least.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I got here at 8:30. We had a good breakfast, dude. It was fucking nice. Like, it's early, dude. I'm not even charged up yet. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah. No, well, we had some kielbasa. We had some eggs. Sunny side up.
Paratha.
Malabari paratha.
What's the Malabari? What's that?
Well, we used to... It's with semolina and flour, and it's something that is... that's an Indian one, uh-huh. Indian version. And it's funny because in Morocco, we have the same thing. It's just a different name.
I mean, if you want to talk about that, dude, listen, I'm a very proud Greek man. But Turkish food and Greek food's right. They're fighting over it. It's the same thing.
It's literally like the almost.
Not all of it, but it's pretty fucking close.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah. 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 It's just different names.
Yeah.
And every single person claims it as... to be like theirs.
Everybody has a yogurt sauce with lemon and dill in it. You know, who's going to be alive to claim it though? That's what it feels like.
That's true. That is true. And it's just like throughout the history, mm-hmm. you always find that. You always think that this thing came from XYZ area and this person created it. And when you get back to the history or the transcripts from like ancient Sumerians, for example, and all of the Emerald Tablets. I love that stuff, man. It's anyway, crazy. So they actually had certain things that we claimed to create later. And a lot of people think that they had some ancient technology that they were able to.
I hope they did.
Okay. I mean, when you look at everything that they've accomplished and what they're talking about, and even in Egypt, for
madness,
example,
bro.
A quarry of like a 500-ton thing that no one can lift. And it's a single piece, and they're lifting it, and it's standing up. How did they do it?
I'm just saying, dude. I mean,
like, it's a tower of like tons, like the hundreds or thousands of tons, and you're telling me that someone just lifted it with just like bare hands and like 1,000 people. Imagine if it tipped and tilted.
A thousand Jews built that.
It was proven that they slaves were not the ones that built the pyramids.
Yeah, I've heard many different things.
But it was proven.
I believe them all. I believe it all.
Yeah, but well, yeah. Well, who are we not to believe? Yeah,
I mean, fuck it, dude. Like, what's the worst that could happen?
I have no idea of what really happened. But I there is that part of me that really hope that they had some sort of technology and electricity and nuclear power or whatever.
Dude, I'm kind of hoping me and you are just like alien descendants. Well, I think marijuana. I think cannabis is like I wouldn't be surprised if some meteoroid hit the planet, fucked a rose plant back in
now
like
you went a little too.
Come on now, come on, man.
It came from the space.
Yeah, are you,
that's maybe.
Maybe.
No, I don't think so.
It's good. But I mean, anything. Look at I think mycelium. I think any like plant that's native medicine style situation, it's probably a gift.
Yeah, but you never know. I mean, you can believe everything you want.
Now, guess what? Everything I just said, I don't believe anymore. Because maybe it's just a perfect synopsis. Maybe it just happened.
Well, those are hypotheses that... Even the stories that we have now written about the ancient Sumeria and the ancient Egypt, those, I believe, are just like written statements and hypotheses and theories that people came up with. Because who are we now to know... like whether it's true or not?
I think that the world, or not even the world, the humans in general, as we know us, we have an infatuation with storytelling. And like, I mean, one of the biggest things that I really, really have been into recently is Bohemia.
Mm-hmm.
You know, King Arthur, you know, the what's it called? Historica Britannica.
Mm-hmm.
And I think about the King Arthur story. So I've been listening to a lot of podcasts. I've been reading a lot of articles about King Arthur. And let me ask you a question. Was King Arthur real or was he not real?
I have no idea. Am I to say?
Yeah. So here's what I'm saying. So a lot of people believe King Arthur wasn't real. Mm-hmm. But in the parable fashion, in the allegorical fashion of what it is, King Arthur and the Round Table, you know, there are theories that King Arthur wasn't real. It was
just a myth.
Fucking Santa Claus. And all the Knights of the Round Table, there's seven of them. So I think people think they're different sins. So like Lancelot's pride, you know, Sir Gawain is like, you know, like lust because I don't want to spoil anything, but Sir Gawain, you know.
Oh, I got to read it. You have a book? You have a book about it? Or
Historica Britannica is like the number one. It's like the collection of poems and stories.
Okay.
But it's the same thing. It's like there's stories about motivation. Doing what's right, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's interesting things, and they're all stories, you know? They're all there to keep us on the right track, to motivate us to keep doing better, mm-hmm. especially the idea of, like, chivalry. You know, King Arthur, Sir Lancelot, as we know it. Like, there's many other knights, but, like, the Lancelot and Sir Gawain are the two most popular ones, and they deal with real-life problems.
Yeah, and what's funny about every single civilization, anything, they always had, like, just following what we have and on TV and all those movies and all of that, yeah. Like, there's always someone singing. There's always some sort of music going on.
I'm so happy you said that.
Yeah, so there is, like, from the ancient lives, like, in our ancestors, they always have music, and that actually it shows how important it is to every single civilization. So how is it important now to listen to music in our life now, this stressful life of ours?
I'm so happy. First of all, what an excellent segue. What a beautiful transition. That was so well done. I think that, repeat your question again. How's music today?
How is it important to us now to listen to music? Why do we have to listen to music and just pick a genre that really speaks our mind and all that? Why is it important?
Two things come to my mind. Mm. There is the idea that music is how you decorate your time. And the idea is that, like, you know, me and you're eating breakfast today and you put on beautiful Moroccan music.
Mm.
You know, it lifts everything up around it. You know, and like, I'm not like a super holistic. I'm not like frequencies are running everything around me. I don't dive into the knowledge of that because I haven't learned much about that on that aspect. I haven't tried to dive into, like, you know, binaural.
Would you be interested in?
Absolutely. Okay. My girlfriend's super into it. She could talk underwater, and sometimes it's a little too much talking for me, and I love her, but she'd just be talking a lot. And sometimes I'm like, okay, babe, no more right now. But the second thing I think about is, think about, you know, storytelling. Let's go back to storytelling. You know, each individual has a story to tell. And if you think about, I think of video games, I think of like D&D, you know, you go into the ale, the tavern, and there's a bard, and he's singing stories of, there once was a man who crumbled the wall.
Mm.
He had a sausage in the morning. And after he brawled, like, it's the idea of storytelling and passing things down. And like, I was just listening to Music Soul Child, you know, and he's a very like neo-soul 1990s, early 2000s R&B artist. You know, he is a good storyteller, you know, and the story is himself. So let's look at rhythm and blues, you know, he's telling his stories, you know, people saying stories about how they lost their parents, how they stay motivated with the loss of parents, the loss of a loved one. Mm. And then there's other mm-hmm. personal stories about, like, you know, each song, whether it's a sad one or not, it's a tale, it's a page of the book. And I think that's very important, especially when it comes to how important music is now and how we consume and observe our lives with music. You know, I think music is one of the most important things in the world. I've spent 2/3 of my life dedicated to it.
How beautiful. I mean? Look, you're
yeah, man, seriously, dude, this shit's real.
Yeah. Yeah, and like, but I imagined you're like holding dead. There was
little loot, like a little bar.
There was someone who jumped the wall.
Sausage in the morning with Papa and Fritz. He had too much ale, and then he took shits. A war he went, and then he won to come to his mother and home to his son, like that kind of shit. Like,
wow,
like just large Bravo. Stuff. Thank you, Bravo. Brother.
Wee. There you go. Great You're job. So great flat. Job.
You son of a gun.
Yeah, but there are so many, like, it's very important for us. Like, we do have, like, a lot of people when you're walking outside and they're running and this and that. You always have someone having those AirPods or whatever, and they're listening to their music because you do have to find those moments to find yourself. Sometimes it just helps you not to think.
It protects you from the outside.
Yes.
We got headphones yes. on, dude. Like, mm-hmm. I'm a fucking yapper. I could talk all day, and for someone who spent most of my life making music, I love the absence of music. Like, you know what I really like? Foley. I like green noise. Like, there's a, you gotta think about just like, when I think green noise, I think of how I've come to know it as like, think about you're in the forest and everything you hear has a key, has a resonant sound. So like, I could be talking in an F, my voice could be an F, your voice could be an A, you know, Sarah's voice could be a C, you know. And in regards to that, there's a natural tone to the world, to human life. And when I think of green noise, I think of actual woods. What does a wood sound like? What does green sound like to you? And the way that I've been told what green noise is, there's, you know, hertz. You got sub frequencies, which are sub 100, which are very rumbly low. That's like your bass guitar, that mm-hmm. kind of stuff. Then you mm-hmm. got your mids, which are like probably 150, 200 up to like 7,000 to 9,000, maybe 11,000 K, 1,000 kilohertz. And then you have, I think it is kilohertz, yeah. And then you got like the stuff we can't hear, which is like all the way up from there to like 19,000-20,000 kilohertz.
Things that we can't hear.
But our body can react to it. Our ears just
can't. Oh, those are the frequencies that we're talking about.
We just can't pick it up, those frequencies, yeah.
Okay.
So when I think of the woods, I think of 500 hertz.
Mm-hmm.
Like, here, you know, can I show you right now? We'll do it really quick, see if I can do it. So when I think of white noise.
Here, if you want to plug this.
Does this go in, directly into the.
It's a USB-C thing, oh, so yeah, it goes directly to it.
Shit. Check. So let's see. Can you hear it at all?
No. It's not picking it up.
Hold on 1 second. I don't think. I just don't think it's going to work. I think okay. I have to do some.
If you want to send it to me and I can.
Well,
I can take that.
Sorry. I think if you just let me do some white noise really quick, I can figure it out. Like, so I'm so happy I'm actually getting to do this right now. Can you hear that?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Annoying as fuck. I know. Whatever. So this is going to fucking suck. We're going to go to our wavetable and we're going to do just noise. Ugh. So this is white noise at 12,000 kilohertz with 28% resonance. And resonance is how far. If it was a graph,
okay.
Like if I increase the resonance, sucks.
All right, so what we're gonna do? What we're gonna
no,
do?
No, I'm almost
Wait, give
done.
Me 1 second. We're gonna pause. We're gonna try to fix that. Have it connected to this
mm-hmm.
because the sound is not, it's different when it's going through the
for
the
sure
recorder.
I understand
then so all right we're gonna be right back
word
and we're back all right so now we're all hooked up
white noise
yeah okay
so when I think of the frequency of like the woods this is gonna be white noise kind of okay. sucks right
yeah
so that's at 12 so I have a filter. And it's going to cut off a lot of those higher end sounds. And I'm going to think of So I'm going to play it,
mm-hmm.
and I'm going to move the filter.
Okay.
That's 474 hertz.
Okay.
I would consider this green noise because this is below 500 hertz. And I also, I mean, think about your environment. Like, this is just like the woods.
Yeah, that's true. That is true. It can be even a plane.
Literally, like,
landing or taking off. Yeah. Wind. That's a hurricane. Just past you. Yeah.
I love this shit.
So this is what really motivates you and triggers you, and like the different noises that you can create and make. And
oh,
but the moment, don't you think that the moment you understand it, then you start having that kind of fun?
It's also the, yeah, but it's also the moment you understand one thing, that's when you realize you understand.
It's
thing.
Just like this fucking podcast, man. Like, I remember when we were sitting down in there and we found the issues that we needed to fix in order for us to have a better quality, a better set. So I knew that we can't do it laying down.
We tried.
I knew that I needed different boom arms to hold the microphone. I knew I needed a different recorder and something that brings up the quality and you can hear me better. Now I can actually just be far away from my microphone. I don't have to have
dude,
it.
Dude, like, really I can stick. Now plug my... Dude.
You can plug your computer
this is,
now.
This could be really fun if you want to keep doing like stuff like this. Like, not right now, but I'm just like, I got so many cool things. Like,
but I do. I like this is. You remember when we first started this journey? I told you that you will be always with me. Like,
I now told you I'd be 25 episodes. We're at 2. I got 23 more. Let's keep it going.
But now we do have matching days off, and we can definitely. Whenever I have someone in, I would love to have you with me here, so we can definitely like you can take over. I can make your sound
of, yeah, I would love to, dude.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But no, to me, I want to get back to like the importance of music a little bit, and why is it super important to us, and why is it helpful to us? What does it create in the human brain?
I think personally, it's important to submit yourself to something higher, whether that be religion or the absence of religion. Or the absence of knowledge. You have to realize not in a diminishing way, but how small we are. You know, like we talked about at breakfast. Like it,
yeah.
So, you know, we get to pick our problems.
Yeah.
Sometimes you just need to submit yourself to something that you just don't know.
Mm-hmm.
I think music is.
How about you? You can say my problem is that I make some dope music, and the moment you manifest it and you put that affirmation out there and you start manifesting it, your brain just reacts to it in a way that really start making some
simulation,
dope music.
Baby. Duh, yeah, I agree.
Right? It's all what we project, man. It's all what we really think and how we think about it. If we think about it in a way that really want for us to advance, then we will do greater things.
Can I show you why I think music is important? I'm going to play you just some drums I've made.
Okay.
And I want you to tell me, based off just the things that I've done to these drums, how you feel or what it sounds like. Like, try your best to interpretate.
I'll do the best I can.
Yeah. And it doesn't have to be science, bro. You just have to tell me what you feel. Like...
I try to keep my thoughts to myself sometimes.
Yeah, that's why you started the podcast. So let's just start with this. I'm just gonna run a loop of drums. Now these are drums that are inspired by one of my favorite producers. His name is Burial, and he to me is one of the biggest epitome of what I look for in music. It is uplifting. It is sorrowful. Those are just some. That's two really good words I put. But I'll play this for like 20 seconds, 23 seconds, you try to tell me to interpret it. And I'm going to segue this into why I think music is important, not just as a shield, but as like a hug.
Okay.
You know?
Yeah, go for it.
All right. Let's see if we can get it going. Ready?
and ready, back to it. All right, and that's about a minute of it, so it's gonna stop. Three, two, one, let's go.
It's fantastic. Well, first
that,
of all,
that's, thank you. I appreciate that.
Yeah, it's amazing. And I close my eyes for the people because we don't have any video yet. But I was closing my eyes, and the first thing that came to my mind is I was in the middle of a movie. I was in John Wick.
Fire, dude.
I was in John Wick, just shooting people, killing people.
But I'll take it.
But it felt like. It felt like it's a different feeling from like any other music, and that is definitely the music that really that speaks to me a lot. That kind of music.
Yeah.
I grew up in like nightclubs and all of that. Yeah. Like I worked in alcohol for my entire youth. I know in that industry, and I worked with restaurants and nightclubs and like nightlife in general and hotels and clubs and all of that. And whenever I go to clubs and they're putting that music, I am finishing the night there. Because usually you know it's just like in and out, like I'm working, I'm at work, I'm discussing things, I'm talking business. But then if there is anything like that, I must stay. So
when I made that, I tried, my creativity in the end of the day, I'm a very chemically depressed human being.
So when you finish a project like that.
It's not finished, but yeah.
But when you're working on it and there is already a path in it.
Yeah.
How does it make you feel, man?
That song makes me feel dark. It makes me feel like it's humid and it's muggy. It feels brutalist. Like I'm in a room where it's just humid and muggy and there's fucking, you can wipe the sweat off the wall type shit.
It makes me feel unstoppable.
Like, yeah, dark, like surrounded. To it.
Yeah.
So, but that's, I would consider that song as like a darker production of mine. Just that clip. You know, I played this one for you earlier, but I want you to revisit this one and try to, like, this is completely different, you know, dishes is what I would describe it as. Like, if that was dark and to me grimy and like brutalist and like minimal, this one is different. I played this for you earlier.
Oh, yeah. This makes me feel like, yep, I'm sitting in the terrace.
Literally, yeah. It's about taking you there.
Facing the beach. Yeah. Yeah. Makes me feel good.
It's about taking you there, yeah, you know?
Gives me a smile.
Oh, God. I think this is really fun. This is... I just love music. I love music so much, dude. And it's just like... It's just crazy, you know? Like, hold on a sec, I got one more. I did, you know the song Show Me Love? You've got to show me love.
Of course, yeah.
Hold right there.
Okay.
There's something so beautiful about that, you know, that I think just really resonates with a lot of the stuff, how I feel like that.
Mm-hmm.
Club music and just good, not even club music genre, but just good. Good music is it does that for you, man. And it'll always take you to a place where you felt like you feel safe, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I got a bunch of I stopped paying for a subscription for music related stuff, and I have to click X out of all this stuff really quick. But this is like, I mean, music takes you places, and it's like it can be a defense mechanism, it can be a hug you need, it could be anything you need. And especially like it's about what like I'm trying to tell you or how I feel, and maybe a feeling that I can create through music is a feeling that you can relate to, and then together I'm building connection with you, and you're like, you know, I feel like I know him a little bit.
Yeah,
but listen to this, you know, these songs, like.
First of all, can I ask you a question before you started?
Yeah, this is a long intro. Go ahead.
Yeah. So, what were you thinking when? What was your mindset at that moment when you were making it?
The Hobbit one, like that, like
this one.
This was. I made this for a special performance, and I was playing right after a really, really good DJ, and I felt like I wanted something that, like, showed love to the musicians that came before me, but also like taking things in a new direction, you know. And this is a classic. I really wanted to get people to feel this one. I wanted to get people moving and dancing with this one.
Okay.
So I'm sure you know that melody.
Oh yeah, it's coming up. Turn it up, y'all. I know this melody.
Yeah.
Love it.
I wanted to make people move with that one.
This is such a summer song.
Yeah. It was for the summer.
Yeah.
Near Jim Thorpe, PA.
Love it.
Yeah.
Yeah. By the way, Jim Thorpe.
Gorgeous.
Fantastic.
Gorgeous.
Fantastic. I did not know of it. And Christina just came up with that. And like she was looking up something and she found that and she was like, well, we should go just to visit. So we went and it just blew our minds. It's just 2 hours away. It's fantastic. There's so many things that we can discover around us here that we don't know
of. For sure.
Yeah. Yeah. Mr. Zach.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for today.
You're so welcome.
Yeah. Second episode together, and it's not the last one now that we have something going on.
Now that we can do this, can I play one more for you?
Oh, absolutely.
So this is
it'll be our outro.
Sure. I'm very down. This song is arguably the biggest hit I've ever made in my life.
All right. So we'll let you enjoy it.
It
was a pleasure, dude.
Dude, thanks for just letting me do this. This is crazy. I know we went a little off track, but I feel personally that we talked about stuff that maybe like other people would really like.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know? And yeah. I love talking about music, dude. Cause like, even if I'm not going to be able to play in front of 1,000 people again, like, I can at least talk about music with people,
mm-hmm.
and I can at least try to explain to them what it did for me, you know?
Yeah. All right. Well, thank you guys for tuning in. Thank you guys for listening. If you got to this point, have a wonderful, wonderful day.
This is my remix with Bad Kids, Good People. It's a remix of Paul Wall. So I'm not going to play the lyrics. I don't want this to get flagged because I know.
You can play as much as you want.
This we'll end with this, but I've had people like pay me $150 for the song through Instagram. I've had people like give me cash for the song. I haven't released it yet, but it's a heater. And a couple, I'm very proud to say, bigger name DJs play this out still to this day.
Nice.
But this is a song where, like, you know, there's a sound called the square wave Reese, and it's one of my most prized things I've ever come across in music. And it's, to me, it just feels so inherently just grimy. So this is a dirty fucking song. This is just supposed to be like robbed your gas station kind of music.
Gotcha.
This is a visceral get it out, you know?
Yeah.
Thanks for listening, guys.
All right. We're wrapping up with it.
The